said I'm here to answer your questions, so ask away.
How much did the city pay Zimbalist?
I don't know. I seriously don't know.
What did you think of his dissection under cross-examination?
Professor Zimbalist is probably the foremost sports economist in the country. That's why the city hired him, and that's why PBC tried to hire him as well.
Can you explain the number that he came up with in Los Angeles, this Jaguars pro household benchmark, and how that compares to his failure to quantify the benefits in Seattle?
I think that what he stated in his report for Seattle was that he acknowledged in his report the Jaguar study that was cited in the Los Angeles study, but what he concluded in the Seattle study is that there's such a large range of values that are associated with the intangible benefits that they can't be calculated here with a measure of economic certainty that he would put his name to with respect to his report here.
Just talk a bit about why you decided to call him. What was the reasoning?
Well, one of the issues in the case is the degree of intangible benefits. The PBC wants to say we just have to pay rent, and that's all the city of Seattle gets from having a team in Seattle. And we think it's evident that a team means much more than that to Seattle. You look at the thousands of people who were out here yesterday rallying to save our Sonics. And economists try to put an analysis on that and simply recognize that when people have that kind of satisfaction about following sports, there is economic value to that, and it's a hard number to measure. So it's the idea of trying to put some teeth into the notion that people like and enjoy sports, and it brings people together around the water cooler, especially when teams are winning. And it's satisfying to have be able to follow sports in your community.
Counselor, what do you hope the judge concludes about Clay Bennett's good faith or bad faith effort to find a new arena in relation to specific performance of the league?
Well, the main point with Mr. Bennett is that he is a businessman who understands contracts and knows that when he signs a contract and agrees to abide by its terms, that he should abide by those terms and live with them rather than trying to breach a year later. And that's the basic point that we try to establish with Mr. Bennett, and that all the claims of hardship that he's arguing excuse his performance in this case are issues that he was well aware of when he signed the contract assuming the lease with the City of Seattle.
Can you get to the good faith effort question that I asked you? What do you want to conclude about whether he did or didn't make a good faith effort to find a new arena in relation to a specific performance of the lease with the arena?
You don't ever tell a judge what to conclude or not to include. Well, I think we presented evidence of his intent and of his credibility, and the judge will draw from that evidence what she will. You heard the testimony about what a man possessed means. You saw what he did after he made the man possessed comment, and you can draw your own conclusion, and the judge will draw your own conclusion whether Mr. Bennett was testifying truthfully when he said he was a man possessed to keep the team in Seattle or whether he was a man possessed to move the team to Oklahoma City.
What did you get from his testimony that was helpful to him?
Well, as I said, I think we got a lot of things. I think that there are credibility issues with respect to his explanations for his emails. I think that it was very clear that he understood seven ways from Sundays all of the hardships that he now claims allow him to get out of the lease. He knew the lease existed. He knew it had a specific performance clause. He knew he had to stay there through 2010. He knew that the Sonics were losing over $20 million plus. He knew that those